Are we rolling? Rolling?
2010's coming out of my ears.
Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you.
Would you please do the honors and put 10 minutes on our Italian chef?
I'll do my best.
It is an Italian chef.
Usually pretty challenged in the kitchen.
It's Tech in Europe.
Tech in Europe, that's right.
We'll see if I can manage this.
So quickly before we get to Stephen, I just want to announce time is running out. August 31st, our last discount ends, €200. It's up to you if you want to save it. Also, if you register and book your hotel, at the same time, you'll get that free Metro card for the Berlin.
Which is a good deal.
Absolutely.
And so there's still a little bit of time to do this.
End of the
month. Coming up close.
Right, and then that's it.
And it's done.
News on the keynote front.
Yes, absolutely. So people who follow our Twitter account, which I encourage people to do, and it's TechEd_Europe, if you're wondering. We'll stick that in the show notes. But if you follow that, you get things like this. But we announced Brad Anderson, Corporate Vice President of what we call MSD. It's kind of an internal behind-the-scenes thing. But it's the Management and Security Division here at Microsoft. We'll be keynoting. That's exciting news. Mm-hmm. Big executive going over there to really kind of punctuate the show and deliver some news and some announcements. So that's pretty exciting. And matter of fact, we have an ask out to someone else who may participate as well that we'll probably announce on a future show. So that's pretty exciting.
That's great.
It's good.
A question that came in through the Twitter account, actually.
A while ago.
Yeah. Is how do you get a free pass to TechEd Europe? And?
Is there a way?
There is a way!
A way! Whoa! This is big value here. Free conference pass. So this, just to be clear, this doesn't include airfare, doesn't include hotel. You got to get yourself there.
Just the admission fee into TechEd Europe.
Yeah, which is good dollars.
Yeah, it's a lot of euros.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is, here on Channel 9, where our video is, beneath in the forums, don't email us. Post the reasons why you think that you need to come to TechEd Europe, why you have to be there in person, and you can get totally creative. You can write a poem, you can write code, you can do whatever, and we and the team, Stephen included, will pick a winner, and we'll announce it here on the show.
And it doesn't just have to be something I write. It could be a video I link to. It could be a picture. Matter of fact, we also do the PDC. We're involved in the PDC event here on campus. We did a similar thing. If you want inspiration, you could go certainly look at the show notes from the PDC.
You can be funny, silly, smart, clever, whatever.
Yeah.
So have fun with that.
All those things.
We'll announce that next week.
Next week.
We'll try anyway. So with that, welcome, Stephen Salazar.
Welcome.
So Stephen is our content owner for TechEd Europe. That means he is managing all of the 400-plus breakout sessions.
Yeah.
And first of all, can I just say we are an international team. Stephen, where are you from?
I'm originally from Venezuela.
Venezuela?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes. So we don't yet have a European on the TechEd Europe team, but we will soon.
We are working. It's just
it's
the
coming.
Show.
Yeah. So, Stephen, I mean, there are 17 technical tracks
at
TechEd Europe. That is a ton of content.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that process. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, this is actually a process that takes about 9 months of the year to
work out. It's
like
getting pregnant.
Pretty much, yeah. Never thought of that, but that's actually true. So right now we're midterm into the cycle.
I like it.
And so I coordinate a team of about 45 people, if you will, from pretty much all over the world. So we do have an international team helping us select, identify the content and the speakers for TechEd Europe. Hmm. And as you mentioned, we have about close to 500 sessions. And that's about 500 hours of content that we're going to be providing at TechEd Europe. About 50% of that is actually totally new content. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from TechEd North America. It's actually developed new and presented for the first time at TechEd Europe. The content that comes from TechEd North America would actually be refreshed. So there's a value in coming and seeing the content in person, you know, talking to speakers there.
So a little bit of what I heard there, it sounds like if I wasn't able to make it to TechEd North America, of course, you can always watch the videos online. That's a new thing. But if I want that in-person experience, I can get some of that at TechEd Europe. But what you're saying is because of the time frame between those two events, because it's a little bit of the time, things change, so we need to refresh the content, new things are announced perhaps.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you guys have to adapt to that, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. So we take the learnings from TechEd North America and we select some of the best content from there and we still refresh it to present it at TechEd Europe. But we have a ton of new content. And like you said, most of the content in TechEd Europe is going to be recorded. So all of the breakout sessions, all of the launch sessions will be recorded. We also have a ton of hands-on labs, some of it coming from TechEd North America, but a lot of it is new. And hands-on labs are pretty popular at TechEd.
Yeah, for people who haven't maybe been to one of our events, because we get a lot of new folks who show up, what does a hands-on lab mean?
So hands-on labs is usually... we provide workstations, about 400 workstations on site for people to sit down and actually just test new products or technologies. We've been looking at data and how that's being used. I think there were about over 14,000 labs used at Tech in North America.
So that means a person sat down, fired up one of these hands-on labs, did some work. That counts as one.
Yeah. Wow. So labs were used for a total of over 800 days, if you will, man days. So over two man years of use of labs.
Wow. Or woman years.
Or woman years. Yeah.
definitely. You know,
yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, we've been learning a lot about stats and looking at ways to help attendees sort of get usage of that technology. So we looked at during the time that we're having sessions, breakouts or interactive sessions, you know, the usage of labs is, I wouldn't say low. We have about 300 labs per day being used. But then after hours, after 5 p.m., we have about 1,300 labs being used after hours.
Wow.
So we're looking at ways to make it more accessible to attendees. So we'll be looking at ways to provide that experience afterwards.
And I'm guessing, excuse me, some of that content process, I mean, because content encompasses all of this, right?
Yeah.
So the labs that'll be there support the sessions then, right?
Definitely. So we have labs that cover all the products and technologies, pretty much the whole wide range of products and technologies from Microsoft, almost.
Yeah. Definitely a big
one. It's definitely a lot of content. And it's all pretty well integrated with the other sessions, breakouts, interactive sessions, lunch sessions, pre-cons. We have a very good set of pre-con sessions for Tech Europe, new this year from last year. So we have about 8 sessions. And as with all the content from Tech Europe, you know, we take a lot of time trying to figure out what's the right mix of content. From our audience perspective, we know we have good representation. About 70% of our audience will be IT pro. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for good infrastructure content. The other 30% is developers, somewhat. Mm-hmm. But we also have a good representation of architecture, which is sort of mixed in that percentage
as well.
And I want to point out that people may not realize that actually both of you work on Tech at North America. We've been mentioning that a lot, but I want people to understand that Stephen also owns content, breakout sessions for Tech at North America, and Mike owns the keynotes.
Yeah.
So there's consistency, but not just repeating it.
Yep.
Also, we talked about the session preference survey and how that informs a lot of your decisions. We got over 11,000 votes for Tech Ed Europe, and that you take that data back to the content team, and that informs a lot of what sessions we should have, right?
Yeah.
What people are asking for.
Yeah, the session preference survey is something that we try to do before our content selection and speaker selection this time to learn more about the trends and what people wanted. So that's helped quite a bit. So we definitely use that data, and that's been really helpful. We'll be publishing the content that we select beginning at the beginning of September, beginning to mid-September. And then towards the end of September, we'll launch the session scheduler. And we're really hoping that people go ahead and schedule themselves for session, because that's another piece of information that's very important for us, because it's going to help us allocate rooms and decide which sessions need to be repeated because of their,
So let me see if I can break this down. So if I can in early September, you're going to put a tool out on the website where I can go in and pick the sessions that I really want to see. And then the ones that are the most popular, trending to be the biggest sessions, are going to go into the largest rooms that hold the most people.
Yeah, definitely.
Or you're going to plan for repeats or overflow or something.
Yes.
So not only, it doesn't just help to plan if I'm the attendee or the delegate. It actually helps us kind of make that experience better by providing the right rooms.
Definitely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just like the genetic algorithm.
No, nothing like that. So the other thing, when we talk about, scaling sizes, I know sometimes a speaker will mention that, you know, hey, go check out this favorite session of mine, and all of a sudden it'll blow up. So it's a hard thing to actually schedule these things accurately.
It's an art, not a science.
It's definitely an art. And when you did the session preference survey here recently, there was a surprise on there, wasn't there? Like IPv6, maybe?
Yeah.
We didn't even know people were that interested.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that we learned. At least in the top 10 sessions, we looked at most of those top 10 sessions were actually developer-oriented.